This is KVNF's regional newscast for Monday, June 21st, 2021. I'm Gavin Dahl. Last week saw record temperatures, red flag warnings, and expanded stage one fire bans in our listening area. Ouray County joined area BLM field offices in banning outdoor smoking, campfires outside of developed campgrounds, fireworks, and explosive targets. A stage one fire ban also prohibits welding where vegetation is present, agricultural burning, and using a chainsaw that doesn't have a spark arresting device. 20 counties on the western slope have enacted fire bans, including Delta County. Fines can run as high as $500. A stuck delivery truck shut down Ophir Pass in San Juan County on Friday for hours while they waited for help. Outdoor Colorado reports the four-wheel drive mountain pass is rocky and narrow and definitely not appropriate for delivery trucks. The Delta County School District met last Thursday and once again included comprehensive human sexuality education on the agenda. School Board Vice President Dan Burke opened the motion to rescind Resolution 2115, describing it as an opportunity to clarify their actions when they voted it down in May in secret. The Delta County Citizen reports Joanne Kalanak threatened a lawsuit under open meeting laws for that action. The board told the public they're planning to conduct a community survey and forums to help formulate a sex ed policy, something they have yet to do. U.S. Representative Lauren Boebert missed her opportunity to honor law enforcement, one of her frequent talking points. Boebert was one of only 21 members of Congress to vote against a bill to award the Capitol Police and D.C. Police medals honoring their role in defending the U.S. Capitol. On January 6th, 140 law enforcement officers were injured and 15 were hospitalized during the violent insurrection attempt led by supporters of Donald Trump. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports the bill honoring D.C. law enforcement was introduced in a bipartisan fashion. All other members of Colorado's congressional delegation voted for it, including Republicans Doug Lamborn and Ken Buck. The Telluride Bluegrass Festival wrapped up its second weekend yesterday, broadcast by our friends at Koto Radio. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that, much like the festival itself, the broadcast was scaled back. They featured fewer live interviews of onstage artists and shorter festival days. Also, Planet Bluegrass live streamed the show and donated the proceeds to Koto and other local nonprofits, so KOTO offered the live music only on their FM frequencies. Colorado's financial picture is continuing to improve as the coronavirus lessens its grip on the economy. But as Scott Franz reports for Capital Coverage, experts at the state capitol say the recovery comes with some caveats.
One issue is the ongoing disparity between people making lots of money and lower-income workers. Elizabeth Ramey is an economist advising lawmakers.
Low-wage workers' employment has improved quite a bit in 2021, but it's still almost 6% below pre-pandemic levels.
Meanwhile, stronger-than-expected income tax revenue is boosting the state's revenue projections by $1.6 billion. But it is not likely they will get to keep all of it. The economy is recovering so quickly, lawmakers are expecting to refund billions of dollars to taxpayers in the coming years because of the revenue caps put in place by the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, or TABOR. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
The Trump administration moved headquarters for the Bureau of Land Management out of Washington, D.C. and into Colorado. But will President Biden's administration keep it here? Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck traveled to Grand Junction to ask local residents what they think.
The new Bureau of Land Management headquarters is in a sprawling four-story brick and glass building near Grand Junction's airport. The agency isn't the only tenant, but likely the most controversial. Under the Trump administration, acting BLM Director William Perry Pendley touted the move as economical and good policy.
We want them closer to the lands they manage and the people they work with, rather than two and even four time zones away in Washington.
97% of BLM employees already lived out west, and critics say headquarters needs to be in D.C. where the funding and power is. Nearly 300 BLM employees retired, quit, or found other jobs over the headquarters move. Only three D.C. staffers have officially moved to Grand Junction, though some transferred there from other offices or are still working remotely. I wanted to hear what people in Grand Junction thought about all this, though. I found Jack Mueller sitting outside a coffee shop in Grand Junction on a hot afternoon.
I don't know what to think of the people who are saying, we don't want to move.
He and his wife, Linda, think the headquarters move was a good idea. But Linda doesn't get why D.C. staffers wouldn't jump at the chance to move out west.
Well, anybody that wants to go back to D.C. deserves it.
Plenty of other people around Grand Junction think the same and hope headquarters stays, like resident Dee Stancy.
I just love that we would have the opportunity to have them here locally, and I think it truly makes more sense.
But others weren't so sure, like Miranda Purcell. She'd heard the arguments that moving BLM headquarters out west would benefit the public lands the agency oversees.
On the flip side, people said, well, all the decisions are made in Washington, so is putting them out here and removing them from the conversation. So I don't know which one I agree with.
One thing is for certain. Moving the headquarters here would be an economic boon, potentially to the tune of $9 million a year in jobs alone. That's according to an analysis by the Grand Junction Economic Partnership. Diane Schwenke heads the city's Chamber of Commerce.
That economic impact for us really at this point comes primarily from those jobs and the multiplier of those 40-plus employees.
Schwenke says the city used to move with the booms and busts of fossil fuel markets, but now they depend more on tourism, healthcare, and advanced manufacturing. But a diversified economy hasn't totally spared Grand Junction from hardship.
I could not foresee the recession of 2008 that for our community lasted 10 years.
Schwenke says having a BLM headquarters means more than just jobs, though. It could attract more businesses.
Being the site of a federal agency headquarters actually kind of puts us on the map and elevates our profile.
Colorado's Democratic Governor Jared Polis says he doesn't agree with how the move happened, but he wants headquarters to stay now that it's there. Aaron Weiss with the Nonprofit Center for Western Priorities disagrees. He thinks that they need a headquarters where lawmakers and other agencies are.
Everything BLM does involves interfacing with the Fish and Wildlife Service, with the Park Service, with the Department of Agriculture, which oversees the Forest Service.
The move could even play a role in whether senators confirm Tracy Stone Manning to be the new BLM director. She'd opposed the move a few years ago. When asked about it recently, she was pretty vague.
You have my commitment to dive in and carry the folks of Grand Junction and their concerns with me to the consideration.
But back in Grand Junction, Chris Brown, owner of Brown Cycles Bike Shop, thinks we don't have to decide between DC or Grand Junction.
Probably realistically a split probably makes more sense. You don't have to be, you know, sitting next to somebody to govern and manage things.
That way, Brown says those who want to live in Grand Junction, like those who already moved, can. And the rest can stay in the powerhouse that is Washington, D.C. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
That does it for Monday's KVNF Regional Newscast. You can send email feedback or story ideas to news@kvnf.org. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.